extremely popular. They were like the alternative to AOL and CompuServe back in the early days. But nowadays, they're, you know, very, very obscure.
Rob Fleischman is a computer scientist and internet expert. He says that at one time, porn and pirated materials were commonly shared on these systems.
These little areas of the internet that are not particularly popular are great places for nefarious characters.
Most of that business has migrated onto the mainstream web, along with all the legal activities, too. SDF is now really just a hangout for computer hobbyists. Back in the 80s, when users still had to use landline telephones to connect, they would usually only communicate with other computers that had a local number. Nobody wanted to pay long-distance charges. And because other users were in your area code, it was common for them to get together in person. Online friends actually became real friends. Today, users from around the globe are on SDF, but they still do occasionally meet up in person.
I think that would be really cool. I haven't come across anyone in Concord, New Hampshire. If I did, I'd love to meet up with them.
For now, Pat McNamee-King is satisfied just surfing around on SDF. Rob Fleischman told me that this type of computing will never to-
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is June 22nd, 2022. So it is 22-6-22, if you use dates like a European-type person, or it's 6-20...
DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, that's right. You are tuned in to News to Me, your non-radio midday news show for all the news hounds out there in the world. Hello, hello. It is December the 8th, 2022, and it is a balmy 25 degrees here today in Austin, Texas, where I'm at, reaching out to you from the roof of the garage. So hello, hello. Jump on into comm here. Howdy to Tobe and X1. Welcome, welcome. Hey, some dude. Oh, goodbye, some dude. Let's see what we got in the comm. Cinosphere, hello. Shout out to you, Jeff, Tobe. Hello, hello, everyone. Thanks for being here and tuning in. We got a lot of news. Not a lot happening with me. We had our company party last night. That was okay. But your boy is happy to just have a regular happy hour tonight. All right. So, let's go ahead here and pull this up.
World News.
Haha, I found it. All right, let's launch good old World News here. We'll get started the way... Hey, Deep Thaw. Yeah, news to us. 1 second. Sorry. Whoops. I thought I hit the mute button, and then I heard that I did not. I apologize. I hope I didn't hurt your ears. If you want to check out the stories, and you're listening in the future, or in the past, or just in general, you don't want to hang out and listen to the whole show, you can go to tx0.org/1gu. That's tangoxray0.org/1golfuniform. All lowercase, tx0.org/1gu. And when you go there, you will get to my one tab page that has the news stories on it. And we start pretty much the way we almost always start, and that's over there in the world news section. We begin in Burkina Faso. The government in Burkina Faso has granted a license to a Russian mining company, Norgold, to operate a new gold mine. The operating permit is for a period of 4 years in an area situated in the northern central region. The Russian company already operates 3 gold mines in the north of the country. Both sites have been plagued by jihadist violence since 2015, perpetrated by movements affiliated with Al-Qaeda
and Islamic State. Burkina Faso's 17 industrial mines produce around 70 tons of gold a year. Gold production has replaced cotton as the leading export product. Moscow enjoys growing popular support in Burkina Faso, while France, the former colonial power, is vilified. Since the September 30th coup that brought Captain Ibrahim Traoré to power, Burkinabes have repeatedly demonstrated waving flags of Russia, a country with which they want their new leaders to intensify relations. So we'll see how this plays out, but sounds to me like Russia's got a popular friend there. It's almost like the West's history of imperialism and exploiting and oppressing peoples of the world might come back to bite them one day. Mohsen Shekari, Iran carries out first execution over protests. Iran has announced the first execution of a protester convicted over the recent anti-government unrest. Mohsen Shekari was hanged on Thursday morning after being found guilty by a revolutionary court of Moharebe, enmity of God, state media said. He was accused of being a rioter who blocked a main road in Tehran in September and wounded a member of a paramilitary force with a machete. An activist said he was convicted after a show trial without any due process. The international community must immediately and strongly react to this execution, Mahmoud Amri Mokhadim Adam, director of the Norway-based group Iran Human Rights, said in a statement. If Mohsen Shekari's execution has not met with serious consequences for the government, we will face mass executions of protesters, he added. The judiciary, Mizan News Agency, reported that a revolutionary court was told that Mohsen Shekari had blocked Tehran's Sitar Khan Street on 25th of September and used a machete to attack a member of the Basij Resistance Force, a volunteer paramilitary force often deployed to quell protests. So, kind of a bit stuff there. X1 points out, the West, you mean everybody. Hey, welcome, LD Beth. And Atomic Rights, hello. Otaku, all the .sdf hosts are just different hosts that you can log into. They're all a part of the SDF cluster. So just SSH over to tty.sdf.org, and you'll get bounced around to all the different ones that are out there. So don't worry about it. They're all, hey, silly bear, silly Laird. Yeah. There's several. You just SSH over to tty.sdf, and you'll get bounced around, or round robin to different ones. I don't know. Who knows? It's one of those things. I know that Tobe's always on Otaku, or Tobe seems to always be on Otaku. Excuse me. All right, let's keep on going. We got more news than anybody can use in a day, but we'll try and fit it all in. Besides that going on in, besides the murder or the execution in Iran, U.S. is watching China-Saudi relations grow in importance. Chinese President Xi Jinping is in Riyadh for a three-day trip, underscoring the constantly growing importance of Sino-Saudi relations, and a clear message from Saudi Arabia that it will not take dictates from the United States. Xi's first trip to Saudi Arabia in 6 years gives Saudi Crown Prince and Prime Minister Mohammed bin Salman, commonly referred to as MBS, a greater opportunity to assert his influence on the international stage as an increasingly important figure in global affairs. This week's meeting will supposedly focus on the economic dimensions of the Sino-Saudi partnership. According to the Saudi press agency, the kingdom and China will sign agreements worth $29.6 billion. Such agreements will add to trade, business, and investment relations between the two countries that have greatly deepened in recent years. China is Saudi Arabia's top crude oil market, accounting for more than 25% of all Saudi crude oil exports. These exports earnings help the Saudi government maintain its social bargain, explained John Calabresi, director of the Middle East Asia Project at the Middle East Institute, in an interview with Al Jazeera. Additionally, these earnings are extremely important for Saudi Vision 2030, Saudi Arabia's grandiose economic diversification agenda, including with respect to the futuristic city of Neom, which is currently being built. That's N-E-O-M. If the smart city proves successful, Saudi Arabia can expect its cooperation with the Chinese to further expand in many ways, particularly mindful of the potential for many Chinese tourists to visit Saudi resorts on the Red Sea. So, what's going on there, right there?
Abafa has left for GGGG and has come back. Welcome, welcome, Abafa. Thanks for tuning in and checking out Anon Radio and SDF. Hey, Jeff. Yeah, exactly. Everybody should be meta. If you've got... I do want to just say that when I first was with SDF, I used to, several accounts ago, I used to always connect, and I would just use the free account. I sent a dollar in a few different times, and it was like, okay, cool. I was validated, and I just went about bebopping around using links and e-links. I mostly used it to bypass filters at my jobs, because at work, I wouldn't be allowed to, like, go to certain websites or do certain things, but I could SSH, especially on port 80. Hey, a helicopter's flying directly at me. It's gonna fly right overhead. So just hold on for a second. It's gonna get a little louder. It's funny because its apparent speed slows down as it gets closer. There we go. It's a black and white, and it looks like a regular old civilian helicopter you'd see, like, people doing tours of the city in. I couldn't read what was on the side of it, though. So anyway, sorry about that. Hey, Tobe, welcome, welcome. And Connor, welcome, welcome. thanks for being here. Hey, silly laird. Yeah, I don't know. I'm... I do like Gopher. I post a lot of, post a vlog there. But I mean, my Gopher vlog is kind of more raw Marcus feelings than anything. All right, let's get back to the news. Sorry about that. We got distracted. Calm is a fun place, but it's very easy to get distracted. So if you don't know, Monsanto is a horrible evil company. One of the worst, entities to exist in the world, causing tons of cancer around the world, and also depriving, you know, basically tricking farmers into growing seeds that they then can't replant, or selling them seeds that don't, that are all sterilized, so they won't reproduce, so they have to buy seeds year after year from them. Lots of anything evil that can be done in agribusiness, that's done by Monsanto. And one of their subsidiaries was sued and brought to justice in France. It was a 15-year battle. A French court has ordered Germany's Bayer to pay compensation of some 11,000 euros to a crop farmer for the accidental inhalation of a weed killer produced by its subsidiary, Monsanto, ending a 15-year legal battle, his lawyer and the company said on Thursday. 11,000 euros for so much sacrifice, the farmer Paul Francois told France Info Radio. Media reports said he asked for more than €1 million in compensation. Francois had argued that the fumes he inhaled from the weed killer Lasso, a product that was subsequently withdrawn from the French market, caused neurological problems including memory loss, fainting, and headaches. In a 2019 interview with France 24, Francois said he hoped his lawsuit would show multinationals like Monsanto they can't continue to act with impunity, that a simple citizen can take them to court and have them sentenced. Bayer France said in a statement that the sum allowed to the farmer was less than 1% of what he'd requested. The company reiterated that judicial experts had not recognized any of the serious pathologies alleged by Francois. The exact amount of damages was 11,135 euros. France's highest court in 2020 rejected an appeal by Lasso maker Monsanto, which had meanwhile become a subsidiary of Bayer, opening the way for the court in the city of Lyon to decide what damages should be given. So, there you go. Tobe might not have a show. Let's slap some stuff together. Tobe is the host and the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. It's happening in just about 15 minutes, and is always a good time. Since dudes, marmots, pippas, cow factories, you name it, candy reports, there are all sorts of stuff going on over there. D'accord, adjord, hui, un programme de musique, or possibly de musique. we shall find out. Apologize for my terrible abuse of whatever language that was. Let's jump over. Let's do a couple stories here real quick. A couple more. You know, we gotta get all the news we can fit into the time slot, you know. Let's see. Where'd it go? Here it is.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. We're going to play a song here in just a second. A short one, though, because I'm getting used to the... I just got my sound effects back. I want to be sure to use them judiciously. Hello, Jeff. live. That sounds cool. Hey, you. Welcome. Thank you for being here. All right. So let's jump over here to our news story. Brittany Griner, Russia frees U.S. basketball star in a swap with arms dealer Victor Bout. The U.S. and Russia have exchanged jailed U.S. basketball star Brittany Griner for notorious arms dealer, you can tell this is written by the West, Victoria Bout, held in an American prison for 12 years. Joe Biden said Griner was safe and on a plane home from the UAE. I'm glad to say Brittany's in good spirits. She needs time and space to recover. Griner was arrested at a Moscow airport in February for possessing cannabis oils and last month sent to a penal colony. The Biden administration proposed a prisoner exchange in July, where Moscow had long sought Bout's release. The elaborate swap involved two private planes bringing the pair to Abu Dhabi Airport from Moscow and Washington, and then flying them home. According to Politico website, they walked past each other on the airport tarmac. The Russian citizen has been returned to his homeland, the Russian Foreign Ministry said in a statement, although he is not yet thought to have arrived on Russian soil. Russian news agency said he was still being flown to Vnukovo Airport near Moscow. Speaking in the Oval Office, Griner's wife, Cheryl, praised the efforts of the Biden administration in securing her release. Just standing here overwhelmed with emotions. A joint Saudi-UAE statement revealed that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, had taken a leading role in mediation efforts, along with UAE President Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. The heir to the Saudi throne has good relations with Russia's Putin, Vladimir Putin, and in September, he helped coordinate a complex swap of hundreds of prisoners held by Russia and Ukraine. When negotiations began to secure Griner's release during the summer, the U.S. made clear it wanted ex-Marine Paul Whelan to be included in an exchange. But it became clear Whelan, jailed in 2018 on suspicion of spying, would not be part of the Russian swap. Bout's lawyer, Alexei Tarasov, told Russian TV that from the start, the U.S. wanted two of its citizens returned, and Russia's foreign ministry complained that Washington categorically refused to engage in dialogue. So, in the end, as we've seen, the exchange took place in the format of one for one, because really, an exchange should be equal, said Mr. Tarasov. Victor Bout sold arms to warlords and rogue governments, becoming one of the world's most wanted men. Dubbed the Merchant of Death for gun running in the years after the fall of the Soviet Union, the Russians' exploits inspired the 2005 Hollywood film Lord of War, which is loosely based on his life. So, there we go. Hey, wet snow in X1 land. Hey, MH Cat, welcome. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, cannabis oil for your arms and legs, or for your joints, you know. Hey, Flipper88, welcome. All right, so let's go ahead and play a song. We'll play a short one just because...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're just testing all of this out real quick. So let's go with here. This is I Want to Be a Bear from The Descendants.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right, you're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, it's powered by you. So thank you for being here, hanging out in calm, chatting a bit. So big shout out to you guys. If you are a member of SDF, get verified. All you gotta do is send a dollar on in to SDF and you'll get validated, And if you do enjoy it, what is it, ARPA? send in $36 one time, you get upgraded. And then Meta is only like $36 a year. So if you do, and you can pay that quarterly too, so you don't have to pay it all at once if that's something that is a problem or is trouble for you. Anyway, that's what's going on here. Free lunch at the office. Hey, Fog, I hope the free lunch. There's no such thing as a free lunch unless you're at work, am I right? All right. Let's go ahead here and jump back in. We've got some more American news here to cover, or domestic news, I guess we might call it here in the U.S. Let me tell you, let's talk about it. Nuclear news. Cold hydro testing for Vogtle, it's V-O-G-T-L-E, Victor Oscar Golf Tango Lima Echo. So I think that's Vogtle. Cold hydro testing for Vogtle 4 completed. Georgia Power has announced the successful completion of cold hydro testing for Vogtle Unit 4, which is described as another critical milestone along the path to bringing online the first new nuclear units in the USA for more than 30 years. During the testing, the reactor coolant system was filled with water and pressurized above normal operating conditions, then lowered to normal design pressure while inspections took place to verify systems met design standards, including checking that welds, joint pipes, and other components do not leak under pressure. Chris Womack, CEO and chairman of Georgia Power, said these units are a long-term investment for our state and essential to building the future of energy for Georgia. For the next 60 to 80 years, they will help us continue to provide clean, safe, reliable, and affordable energy for our customers, serving generations of Georgians as clean, emissions-free sources of energy. Closed vessel testing was completed in November, and Unit 4's turbine was rotated on its turning gear for the first time, demonstrating the turbine was assembled with quality and that integrated oil systems function as designed. Once operational, the turbine will rotate at 1,800 revolutions per minute. Loading of nuclear fuel for Vogtle 3, took place in October, and Georgia Power said teams at the site have continued to advance through various phases of startup testing. Vogtle Unit 3 is projected enter service in the first quarter of 2023. Construction of Vogtle 3 began in March 2013 and Vogtle 4 in November of that year. They are both AP1000s. Southern Nuclear and Georgia Power, both subsidiaries of Southern Company, took over management of the project to build the units in 2017, following Westinghouse's Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Once operating, the two new units will be able to power more than 500,000 homes and businesses. Southern Nuclear will operate the new unit on behalf of the co-owners Georgia Power, Oglethorpe Power, MEAG Power, and Dalton Utilities. So that's a little bit of news there for you from World Nuclear News, a website that's been providing nuclear news for 15 years. So if you like nuclear stuff, pretty neat. Atomic Rights overdoses on thionine. Hey, Cody DH, welcome. It's always good to see new people in comm and see you guys around. If you're new to SDF or new to comm and you're like, hey, how do I know what's going on? You need to go to anonradio.net for the schedule, or just press the equal sign in comm and you'll see all the cool shows coming up, like the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 19:30, and then Stug Show Flux at 20 hours, followed by Language Soup with DJ Super Salad, and Pumpkin Pie with Mr. Bruges. So check that out if so inclined. It is always a good time. Let's keep on moving. We got a couple more stories to get to before the 19:30 hour is upon us, before we run out of time fuel. Dyson has a pretty neat thing. So during the pandemic, this came out, or the prototype was announced, and people made fun of it, but it's a real product. Dyson's headphones come personal air purifier to hit stores in China in January and Singapore in March. Global domestic appliance maker Dyson wants its technology to be worn on the streets, announcing on Thursday the sale of its first wearable device, developed in its key labs in Britain and Singapore. Sale of the Dyson Zone, a pair of noise-canceling headphones complete with an air-purifying snap-on face visor, will begin in January 2023 in China, followed by the United States, Britain, Hong Kong, and Singapore from March. I'm actually pretty interested in this if it's not ridiculously expensive. The Singapore-headquartered company is keeping the product's retail price close to its chest for now.
The contraption creates an unusual look for its wearer that's been likened to Princess Leia's hair buns in the original Star Wars movie and Batman villain Bane's mask. But not everyone is a fan of the look, which drew mockery from netizens when Dyson first announced the gadget in March 2022. The criticisms are a contrast to the praise that Dyson vacuum cleaners, Beidless fans, and air purifiers have won for their iconic industrial look and unique bright colors. Let me see if I can... I download the stories, I don't actually... I download the articles, I don't actually have them loaded up as a link. Let me see if I can't generate a link for everybody. Other things, I'll look for that while we do these last few stories, or just the headlines, maybe. The U.S. House has passed landmark legislation protecting same-sex marriage. An Olive Garden manager was fired because someone said they couldn't come to work because their dog had died, and they replied back, "If your dog died, bring him in," which is terrible. And a city in Arkansas has elected an 18-year-old black man as mayor, which is the youngest black mayor in the country. Let's go ahead and check that story out real quick with you. Jalen Smith, who lives at home with his parents, will be the next leader of Earl, population 1,785. It's not even a year since Jalen Smith was learning the power of the youth vote as a student government leader at his high school in Arkansas. Now the teenager is about to put his knowledge into practice as the youngest elected black mayor anywhere in the U.S. I don't want to be 30 or 40 and become a mayor when I could be one right now. Smith, who lives at home with his parents, said his mom could not stop crying about his success, which came with a 235-183 vote defeat of Nimmy Matthews, the city's street and sanitation superintendent. Matthews was one of the first to offer his best wishes, writing, "I congratulate Mayor-elect Jalen Smith for a well-run race. I wish you well." So I thought that was kind of interesting, a little neat. Let's see what we got. So let's see. Let's see if we can get this manager story, because that's kind of questionable. Olive Garden. A manager of an Olive Garden restaurant in Kansas was out of a job after warning subordinates to look for other work if they requested time off. In an unusually harsh message that went viral online, the manager, whose name was not released, complained that staffers at her eatery in Overland Park were staying off work at a staggering rate. "Therefore, we are no longer tolerating any excuse for calling off. If you're sick, you need to come prove it to us. If your dog died, you need to bring him in and prove it to us. If it's a family emergency and you can't say, too bad. Go work somewhere else." The manager's message exalted her own work ethic, saying she'd gone in for shifts when ill, and even once after her car was destroyed in a crash. So the casual Italian dining chain, whose slogan is "When you're here, you're family," had dismissed the manager by Tuesday. So that's what's going on over there. We need to kick all of Oregon Harvester's alts. Oh, what happened, Tobe? I don't know what's going on. Can someone share or explain what's going on? All right. Well, that's all the news we got for today. I really appreciate everybody being here and hanging out while we made sure that we got through some news. We were able to test the sounds. I was able to get all of them to work.
This is time for tech news.
So that's the only one. I don't think we used that one. Appreciate everybody. We're being here. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And I'm going to try and find out more of this this hot goss here. So, all right. Thanks a lot. Oh, this was supposed to play the exit music. Shucks. Oh, well. We might not get the exit music before... Let's see. Outro. This might be it. This is a smaller one.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thanks for being here.